Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Agile Entrepreneur Podcast. This is your host, Ramesh Dantha. This podcast is about starting and building your own business with purpose, passion, perseverance, and possibilities. Today, I'm very, very honored to have a distinguished guest. His name is Bob Berg. You might already know about Bob. Bob is a very sought-after speaker at company leadership and sales conferences, sharing the platform with everyone from today's business leaders and broadcast personalities to even a former U.S. president. Bob is the author of a number of books in sales and marketing and influence, with total book sales of well over a million copies, believe it or not. His book, The Go-Giver, co-authored with John David Mann, itself has sold over 850,000 copies, and it has been translated into 28 languages. In his the latest in the Go-Giver series, John and Bob have worked on this book called The Go-Giver Influencer. Bob, welcome.
Thank you, Ramesh. It's so great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Actually, I don't know where to start. I'll be very honest with you, but I think because you're so well established by now, I would not start with what you're doing currently, because we all know what you're doing currently. Yeah. I want to go back to how you started. I'm sure you did not start out as the Inc.'s top 100 influencers of all time kind of a pedigree. So you must have started somewhere. If you could just tell us how you started your journey.
Well, I began in broadcasting, first on radio and then on television. I was the late night news anchor for a very, very small network affiliate in the Midwestern United States. So it didn't pay particularly well, but I got a lot of experience and that was good. But I really wasn't a very good news person. It wasn't long before I, as I like to say, graduated into sales. Now, the problem was I knew nothing about selling. And the company that I started working for, their training, let's say, wasn't very good. Okay. It wasn't that it wasn't good. It was non-existent.
Okay.
So I was kind of on my own. And I floundered for a few months. And then while I was in a bookstore one day, and this is about 40 years ago or so, so quite a while ago, I came across a couple of books. One was by Tom Hopkins. One was by Zig Ziglar. And I bought their books and I began to study them. And I really, really studied them. And then just as importantly, of course, I began to apply the information they were teaching. And in a fairly quick period of time, my sales began to do very well. And I, at that point, I was encouraged and I began really getting into personal development. I realized right away that success in selling, success in business, success as an entrepreneur was really about growing yourself from the inside, right?
Right.
And then that inside success manifests itself outside. And so I began reading all the, the great classics such as How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Magic of Thinking Big, Think and Grow Rich, all those things. So eventually worked my way up to sales manager of another company. And as time went on, I began teaching other people what was working for me. And it sort of morphed into a speaking business.
At some point, then you quit sales. I don't know if that's the right path you took. And then you started full time into speaking and other engagements.
Yeah, though I never stopped selling. I'm still a salesperson to this day. I just sell a different product myself, as well as our books and various other resources. But no, it's still selling. But yes, I began a speaking business. And like anything else, it's a business. And so you need to learn how to sell and market your services and run the business in such a way that it's a profitable, sustainable business.
Right. So one of the things that we talk a lot about on the show is how do you transition from working for somebody to working for yourself? So you were a sales manager and then you really did quite well because you were investing in yourself in the self-development. Was the transition sudden? Like you said, I'm not going to work for somebody, I'm going to work for myself. Or was there a side hustling kind of a way? How did you manage the transition?
Yeah, I did it as a side hustle first that I actually sold someone else's, back then it was audio cassette tape programs.
I see.
So they taught me how to do free speeches all over the place at different civic clubs, groups, organizations, all types of, company, different things, where I'd speak for 30 minutes and then I would sell the tapes. So that was a very good experience. So I did hundreds of talks for free, although I was also able to make some money from it too and sell a really good product that was the other person's. But eventually I decided to, you know, transition into my own business. I developed my own cassette tape program on the topic that I was doing. And eventually, once I got to the point where I felt I was ready to make it full time, that's what I did. But it was, you know, it was still a struggle at first. And there were times that, you know, I didn't know how much longer I was going to be in business. And more than one occasion, I checked the want ads of the newspaper, which many of your listeners may not even know what that is, the want ads or the newspaper. Right. But back then, that was a big thing. Fortunately, I was able to have a couple of things happen at just the right time, and it kept me in the business.
Hey, Bob, actually, you touched upon another topic I was going to get into. You said there were some tough times and you were somehow able to manage, and some things, you know, came through that helped you. Okay, so if I can touch upon, how did you manage those tough times? Was there an internal grit that you had, resilience you had, or externally somebody was helping you manage, or how did you manage those down times?
Well, you know, I mean, down times are uncomfortable. So, you know, I think when people say, well, just, you know, realize it's all for the best and just have a good attitude. Well, that's, you do have to have a good attitude, but and you do have to realize it's for the best, but that doesn't mean we're happy with it.
Right.
I mean, it's tough. It's lousy when business isn't good, or even when it is good, but it's not sustainable, you know? And yeah, I mean, you handle it just by handling it. You sell yourself into success. Okay. So in other words, typically, and this is assuming you're running the business correctly so that when you have clients and customers, it's profitable.
Yeah.
Assuming that's the case. Typically, you need more clients and customers, so you continue to sell. And you sometimes may feel like, oh, this is just, you know, it's hopeless or it's useless. Well, that's a decision you've got to make. But the chances are it's not hopeless, that if you just keep on prospecting and connecting with people and providing people the opportunity to buy, that it's going to happen. Sometimes you just got to work hard your way out of a situation.
You switched into public speaking. Was the public speaking itself enough for you to sustain your business? Or were you selling some product or service and then public speaking was a wrapper around that product or service? Or how did that mix happen?
Once I went into business for myself as a speaker and did it full time, where it was my own product that I was selling, I had a cassette tape program, which was pretty much my, at that time, when I ended up developing a couple of them, but at the time there was one main cassette program. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I did charge a fee for speaking. I learned how to market myself as a speaker, as a professional paid speaker. Yeah. But of course, at that time, it was not a very high fee. And so I also at those events would sell my cassette tape program. Those two together, again, created enough income that, yep, you know, I was able to struggle my way through. But after a while, thank goodness, it got to a point where as I like to say, it became sustainable.
So excellent. So I think in every person's journey, I see a couple of inflection points, right? So things that really transform them from an also ran into, no, suddenly an influencer kind of stuff. What was the transformation in your journey? Was it the speaking thing? Or afterwards, we'll get into the book again, but what were your inflection points in your journey?
Well, my big challenge with the speaking in terms of the sustainability was I was a one-man operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was selling my engagements, and then I was out on the road speaking. And of course, when I'm out on the road speaking, I'm not selling any more engagements.
Correct.
So there was that cycle, right? And eventually, I had to get to a point where I was willing to hire someone part-time at first,
yeah,
who then grew into full-time, who could, you know, help with the marketing and selling and the logistics and the different things that freed me up and made it so I could do what I do best, which was the selling and the speaking. So, you know, once that happened, it was fun, but it's always difficult. You know, the question is so often asked, when do you know when the time is right, mm-hmm, to take someone on? You can't really afford it, but you really can't afford not to. And that's when you got to just make that decision and go for it. And it can be very, very difficult. I don't know of any magic bullet answer.
Yeah.
I know it was very scary for me when I did it.
Yeah. So I mean, I call it working for the business versus working on the business.
Well, that's the key. And I mean, that's, you know, and that goes back to Michael Gerber's excellent books on the E-Myth and so forth. We've got to set up the business from the start so that as quickly as possible, it is sustainable.
Yeah.
But at first, you are everything.
Bob, at some point, then you grew to become an author and then a very successful author. So how did the writing thing come into being?
So it was actually very utilitarian, okay? I did it because I was at a National Speakers Association meeting. I'd been in business for a few years. I was on the cusp of doing well. And a few people there said, Berg, if you want to take your business to the next level, you need to write a book. You know, you need to get yourself positioned as the expert. You can also, it's easier to market yourself and sell yourself when you have a book. There's more credibility. You can get higher fees. You're more desirable. And, you know, everything. And it turned out to be great advice. So again, it was just utilitarian purposes for I wrote that book. I didn't really want to write a book, okay, but I did because it was going to help position me better. And it did. Now, after that, my books that I wrote after that were because I felt I had something to say that I really wanted to say and wanted to share. And so all the rest of the books I've authored and co-authored have all been for those reasons. But the very first book was because I basically needed to write a book for my business.
If you could talk a little bit about your go-giver influencer. I mean, that is a new parable, as you call it. What is it about? And then what are your beliefs that you're conveying through the book?
Well, we really wrote the book because we wanted to take the topic and the concept of influence to a much deeper level, because influence is so important. I mean, when you think about it, on a very basic level, what is influence? Well, it can be defined as the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. Yep. Now, that's the definition. It's not really the essence of influence, though. The essence of influence is pull as opposed to push. Mm-hmm. We often, you know, hear the question, how far can you push a rope? And the answer is not very far, at least not very fast or very effectively. And that's why great influencers don't push. They don't try to push their will on people. They don't try to push people and manipulate people. And it's not sustainable, and it's typically not even instantly doable. Sometimes it is, but it's the wrong way to do things. And again, it's not sustainable. Pull or attraction is the way to influence successfully and sustainably. What do I mean by pull or attraction? It's understanding that, and again, I'll go back to Dale Carnegie, what I believe was his underlying premise in his classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People, where he wrote, ultimately, people do things for their reasons, mm-hmm. not our reasons. So the most effective influencer knows that they need to ask themselves questions to make sure their focus is on the right place, which is the other person. In other words, how does what I'm asking this person to do, how does it align with their goals?
Their goal.
With their wants, right? With their needs, with their desires. How does what I want this other person to do, how does it align with their values? What problems am I helping them to solve? How am I helping them to be happier? How am I helping them to achieve this or that, what have you? And when we ask ourselves these questions thoughtfully, intelligently, genuinely, authentically, not as a way to manipulate another human being into doing our will, but as a way of building everyone in the process, now that's influence. That's influence. You know, I like to say, ultimate influence or genuine influence is the ability to work with others in such a way that everyone comes out a winner, and being able to deal with others in a way that we make them feel genuinely good about themselves, about the situation, and about us. And that's the ultimate in people skills, which is the big differentiator. People skills is the difference maker between the person who maybe attains a reasonable level of success and that person who just attains enormous levels of success and achievement and seems to have the world just, you know, really eating out of their hands.
So thank you very much, Bob. That was a pretty insightful discussion there.
Thank you.
The other thing is you also have a podcast. I mean, you're doing so many things. You're hitting, you know, balls out of the park every day.
So, thank you.
So what's your podcast about? What are you focusing there?
Well, the podcast is really featuring people, other, you know, entrepreneurs and authors, thought leaders, what have you, that really have a set of skills to bring to share with the audience. That in each of these people who are featured as guests, they really all tend to run their business what we would call the go-giver way. So they're people who have a real true focus on bringing value to the lives of others, touching the lives of numerous people with their value, and also being very financially successful as well.
So this is a question I ask myself about other people, and then some people are asked me as well. A successful person like you who have done quite well, right? I mean, financially, I'm sure you've done well. And then with the influence-wise, you've done well. You've sold over 1 million books. But you're still willing to come on shows like these, podcasts and hustling. So why? I mean, is there a... Definitely, I don't believe it's a need, but you still are making effort to hustle on a daily basis. What's the motivation here, Bob?
I love what I do. You know, I mean, there's nothing really more to it than that. I love what I do, being able to share a message that I feel brings a certain amount of value to the world, and people seem to be receptive to it. And I love learning. I love continuing to learn. I'm a voracious reader and listener. And so, you know, because I have the opportunity to chat with so many people like yourself, and you know, it helps me to continue to learn and feel good about myself.
So actually, one sentence I read on your bio on the new website was interesting to me. So I just wanted to get a little deeper. You made an effort to say that you're an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. So question is, why did you feel the need to put this sentence out there? So you must believe in something that you thought is necessary for people to know.
Well, that's a very, very insightful comment, Ramesh. That really is. And you're absolutely positively right. And I mentioned free market, free enterprise, because they're really, you know, at least in the United States, and I think in other countries, there is really such a misnomer and such a misunderstanding of what true capitalism and free markets represent. And by the way, there's a big difference between free market capitalism and something called cronyism, which we have quite a bit of in the United States, which is where special interest groups and oftentimes big business, big industry get together and they buy the vote. You know, they buy special rules and regulations through their contributions to the government, you know, through to the politicians, through lobbyists and so forth. And they create an unfair advantage. They basically keep competition out of the marketplace. And it's really a crime. I mean, it's really horrible that this goes on and it hurts everyone. But unfortunately, too many people think that's capitalism. That is not capitalism. That's cronyism. It has really nothing to do with true free market capitalism, which simply means no one is forced to buy from anyone else.
Correct.
People do business with each other because they believe it's in their best interest to do so. And that means that it's better for the consumer. Mm-hmm. It's better for the business. It's better for the economy as a whole. Free market capitalism has resulted in an immense uptick in the standard of living in every single country that has tried it. Meanwhile, the opposite of free market capitalism, which is socialism and its uglier cousin communism, has resulted in massive poverty and starvation, jailings, killings, everything bad. And, you know, on the surface, socialism seems so generous, right? Yeah. But it's not. It's not. It's about control. And what it does is it doesn't honor human nature. And people have a need to be free. Yep. And people have a need to be rewarded for their work. And that reward doesn't necessarily have to be money, but for some people that is. And really, free market capitalism is not about money. It's about freedom.
Freedom, yeah.
And it's about people living their lives and pursuing happiness in whatever way they see fit, providing, of course, that they don't infringe upon the rights of anyone else to do the same.
Correct. That is very true. Hey, thank you very much, Bob. That's great. You're also on a personal level, unapologetic animal fanatic and a past member of the board of directors of Furry Friends Adoption. So question is, are you biased towards a particular kind of animal or all animals?
I love all animals. You know, I grew up with dogs, and yeah. I seem to have an affinity with dogs, their sense of loyalty and unconditional love and so forth. But okay. I love all animals. I can't think of an animal I don't love.
Okay, excellent. So let's get into a little bit of on the advice to other people, aspiring entrepreneurs. So your own journey, as well as the people that you talk to on a regular basis in a podcast, and then, of course, people that you've touched in your journey. So there are certain characteristics of people who are continuing to be successful versus people who are struggling to be successful. So what are the attributes or characteristics that you have noticed in the people who are making an impact and then being influential?
Well, I think that they really, and this is law three from the Go-Giver, which is they place the interest of others first. They focus on their customers. And I'm talking about from the moment they meet that person and through the relationship building process, through the sales process, the follow-up and follow-through, the referral process, they're always, you know, we say placing the other person's interests first. Now, let me qualify that by saying we don't mean that they are a doormat or right. that they're a martyr or self-sacrificial. Absolutely not at all. But they understand that what I call the golden rule of business is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust.
Correct.
And, you know, there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you from others than by genuinely and authentically moving from an I focus or me focus to what we call an other focus, looking for ways to make your win all about their win. And these are the people who are the most sustainably successful business people.
Excellent. That is only one thing. And I've seen that from my own experience. I see that from experience. 100% agree with you, Bob. Thank you. The next question is, looking at your journey, and I don't want to talk about in a regretful way, but things that you could have done or should have done sooner or something differently, whatever that is, you think as a piece of advice to other people.
Well, I think I resisted change at different stages of my career. And at a certain point, this was, I think, in the late 90s, as the internet was really, really starting to get big. I mean, it was still well before social media, but the internet had now started to really catch on. And I really resisted it, first because I'm not very proficient when it comes to technology, but also my business was at that point really successful and it was working well as it was. And I Right. didn't want to have to change. And what I found out was it didn't matter whether I wanted to change or not. Change was happening. And I was either going to adapt and adopt or be left behind. And I really let myself get left behind. And I had to kind of rebuild my business again. So I would have adapted to technology a lot quicker. But I think, again, that's a symptom, not a cause. The cause was not understanding that I had to be willing to change regardless of whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah, very insightful there. How about the social media? Do you think you adapted to the advent of the social media, especially with people talking about video being the next big thing and things like that?
I wasn't excited about social media, but I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
And I realized I was going to have to get involved with it. And now social media is a very, very big part of my business. And I have a very big presence on, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and my presence on Instagram is growing, and
wow.
we do a lot of videos, and you know, but I'm very fortunate. My business partner, who I've had for the last 10 years, Kathy Tajanel, who's an absolute genius, she also happens to be very technologically oriented.
I see. Yeah. I think that's a good advice. Having a very good business partner definitely helps you on that one. Excellent. Yeah. So last question, Bob, here is, I know you give advice to the leaders and then the management team, but here we're talking about people have probably jobs and trying to do a side hustle or they want to be solopreneurs. So these are the kinds of people. What pieces of advice would you give to people starting out or, you know, started, but, you know, going through that chasm?
Well, first, I would suggest they, you know, they read Michael Gerber's work, the E-Myth, because, you know, he has some very important points there. Carol Roth also has a great book, The Entrepreneurial Equation, and there's, you know, there's others, and of course, making sure they tap into their coaches such as you, and so to really find the information. Okay. Don't feel they have to go it alone. Instead, you know, tap into the people who, you know, whether through their books, through their podcasts, and through their coaching, such as you and so forth, and learn the information, have someone working with you. But, you know, decide what you want to do and then seek out the information, or what I call find the system, right? Yeah. And I define a system as simply the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. The key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired result of B, well, then you know you need to do A and keep doing A until you get the desired result of B. And, you know, I just say take action and then stay persistent, because understand the road is going to be paved with no's, and you got to get past the no's. You got to just keep going, get past them. Understand that you're going to get a bunch of them, and that's okay. You just keep going. You don't have to enjoy them, but you just keep going past them until you get the yeses you need.
Bob, thank you very much. Very insightful discussion and then lots of great advice here. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Ramesh. I appreciate you.